Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together, and we're so glad you've joined us.
Happy weekend, Dr. Linda.
Always good to have a weekend.
It really is.
I hope we don't live for the weekends. Do you think we do?
I hope not, because this last week was pretty busy, so I'm looking forward to it.
I like when the weather's nice, it's always great to have the weekend.
Right. Well, today, we have an interesting show. We're talking about something that has probably affected most of us at one time or another, and it's being taken advantage of. And you have a story to start us off.
I do. So we were in Cozumel, Mexico on a vacation with our kids, and our son wanted to buy this little trinket in a shop. Mm-hmm. We think it was for a girlfriend. We're trying to remember if he had. Yes, my husband's shaking his head. Yes, he was. So he was browsing in the store, and the shop owners were following him around, and they were talking, we later found out, about him in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason we knew this was because my husband was with our son, and he is fluent in Spanish because he's a missionary kid who grew up in Central America.
Mm.
So the shop owners obviously didn't know that. He does not look very Hispanic.
Right.
And they were having conversations about how they were going to take advantage of our son and charge him, you know, a ridiculous amount for this little thing that he wanted to buy, way more than the object was worth. They were laughing, you know, this naive American kid, until they got to the checkout. And Norm started speaking perfect Spanish, and they realized all of a sudden that he had heard all their conversations.
Oops.
Yeah, it was a great moment. So has anything like that ever happened to you?
You know, where I've experienced it over and over again is if Sharon takes the vehicle in for an inspection or something like this, they will always tell her that something really goofy is wrong with the car. But if I take the car in or call them back, all of a sudden, well, that doesn't really need to be dealt with.
It does.
There was never a problem with the car, but they saw what they thought was an unassuming young woman come in, not knowing anything about a car. That type of thing drives me crazy.
Yeah.
If you want me to not show back up at your dealership,
do that.
That's how you do that.
Do that. Well, I remember one time, Chris, when my daughter was in college, she used to complain. It wasn't just one time. They would get these group projects assigned.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, when you're in a group project, you're supposed to all be contributing to what goes on. It never failed that there was one person in the group who either didn't do the work, wouldn't participate, did it late. And I'm telling you, the drama around that, we heard it all the time. And the group felt like the person was taking advantage of them.
Have you ever noticed that in a classroom scenario, there's never a group of those people who don't do the work?
Right.
They always get scattered out through all the other groups.
Yeah, and they make the other group member crazy.
I would love to see one group of do-nothings.
Or one group of really high-functioning ones, right?
Yes. This seems to happen often in both our personal lives and at work, and then, of course, at school, like we've said. Maybe a friend is taking you for granted, or a neighbor is constantly asking for favors. And what happens when we allow people to take advantage of us?
Three things are important to think about when you're being taken advantage of. First, you feel angry at yourself for being walked on. So I bet at times when you talked to Sharon, I bet you came back and thought, well, that guy was trying to get me to pay for stuff I didn't need to have. And so you get a little angry with yourself. Why didn't I speak up, right, or say something? Or the other person, you get angry at the person who's trying to take advantage of you. I think that's where I land more often. But if you internalize that anger, which is what a lot of people do, that's not good for your health, because anger can build up. And as we know, the next thing you know, you could be lashing out at someone else. So emotionally, being taken advantage of doesn't feel good.
The biggest problem of being taken advantage of is you feel disrespected.
That's right. That's the key, I think, in all of this discussion. You gain self-respect, though, or you take it back when you stand up for yourself. I know that's hard to do sometimes because it feels really uncomfortable.
Yes.
I mean, I know it would feel uncomfortable for Sharon to go, wait a minute, are you just giving me this list because I'm a female and you think I don't know anything about mechanics? And that takes a lot of courage to make a statement like that. But the other problem is if we don't say anything, we get stressed out when we don't speak up and we know we should have.
What if someone is really pressuring you to do something you don't want to do, or something you don't think you should?
So here's where you really have to learn to say no. And I think it helps to think before you give an answer. Because when we're pressured, we do things that we don't normally do, and then we feel bad about it later.
But what if it's a friend, though, and they keep asking something like, I just need a little money, or just this once, or it'll only take about an hour. In other words, they are begging and pleading.
So I have given in to that, but then what I'm trying to do is hold them to that limit. Mm. So you said just an hour, or you said just one time, and at the end of that time, you have to really hold the limit with that person. Otherwise, you are going to feel resentful later.
Okay, but I'm not going to let you go. What if, I keep pushing this issue, when you do hold the limit, then they get mad at you.
I know. So be ready for that. They will get mad at you.
Yes.
They will. And if you're a people pleaser, that is really hard for you to handle. Mm. But you have to be okay with somebody getting mad at you. That's part of the way you get the person to stop taking advantage of you. You kind of have to move through that feeling because you were an easy target before, and now you're setting a limit, and now you're not an easy target, and that makes a lot of people mad, and they're going to do their best, Chris, to make you change back and just give in to them. But it helps to think of this as self-respect. If you don't have it for yourself, others aren't going to have it for you either.
What type of people are most prone to be taken advantage of?
So anybody who's a helpful person. Isn't that sad? If you're helpful or you're nice, then people do try to take advantage of you. So I don't want people to stop being helpful or nice, but that makes you more of a target. The other one is the one I just mentioned is if you're a people pleaser. Hmm. So those characteristics just make you much more vulnerable, especially if you care a lot about what other people think.
What tactics can be used on you if someone is taking advantage? Because maybe we should recognize how they are getting to us to do things that we really don't want to do.
I think that's good to sort of identify the tactic that's being used. There's a man named George Simon who wrote a book called In Sheep's Clothing. And in that book, he gives 9 tactics that you should look out for. So the first one is this sort of seductive approach where people are manipulating you with their charm, with a lot of flattery, and they play on your need for approval. So they'll say something like, "Oh, Chris, you're the best. Only you can do this. I don't know any other radio person who could do this but you. So you're going to have to do this because you're so talented."
Oh, thank you.
I actually know somebody who does this to me all the time. And I just start laughing when they do it because I know that they're using the seduction.
Oh, you can see right through it.
Oh, I'm like, really? I'm like the best ever. Okay, right. Whatever. Yeah.
Well, then there's people who just tell blatant lies. They misrepresent the truth and they're being deliberately vague. It has to get done now or the family will all suffer.
Yeah, and that's not true. The family's not going to suffer, right? Mm. How about denial? Refusing to admit they've done something, which can make you start doubting yourself. They'll say, "I never insisted that you do that," or "You must be remembering that wrong."
Right.
So there's a denial in there.
And then there's the issue of selective inattention. This is when they deliberately brush you off by actively ignoring your request or emails, but then they only pay attention to you when they need you.
And I don't like that at all. I just really don't like that. Then there's the diversion tactic where you ask them a question, they just change the subject to kind of throw you off course. So why can't anyone else help you move? You know, you ask that and then they don't answer it. And then they go, "Oh, well, you know, Sunday is whatever."
Right.
They just go off on another topic.
And then they use guilt. They use your goodwill and desire to be a good person to control and manipulate you. And here's what that sounds like. "Well, I thought all Christians would give money to this cause."
Yeah, that's a good one. And related to that is shaming, where they put you down or they use sarcasm. Like, you know, "You never help out the family when we need you." Mm. That's a tough one.
And then how about this one? "The church has let me down and so have you. I can't get anyone to ever help me when I need them." They're playing the victim. They use exaggerated complaints about their hardships to make you feel sorry for them so they get what they want.
And the last tactic is when you feign ignorance or confusion and they just play dumb. They like throws you off balance. Like, "I don't know what you're talking about. I never said that."
Wow. Who are these people?
So I think these are people who need Jesus, don't you?
Sounds like it, yes.
Now, they could be Christians and they're still doing this. So that isn't always the case.
And we hope that identifying these tactics will help you be on the lookout when you're being manipulated. And we need to go to a short break. But stay with us as we talk about how being taken advantage of happens at work and what you can do to stop it.
Anger happens. It's part of being human, but it does not need to control or even ruin your life. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mintel, the relationship doctor, with a quick prescription to help you break free from anger. Whether you are seriously out of control, hot-tempered, or just easily annoyed, why not try this biblical strategy to conquer those destructive reactions? A good place to begin is to admit you have an anger problem, and then begin the tough work of finding the root of your anger. The next step is to identify the triggers, you know, the cues that set you off. Your trigger might be other people or situations or even certain thoughts that pop into your mind. Next, calm down. It's like pressing pause on the moment. Take a breath. Count to five in Spanish or maybe some other language. Get your thinking brain back into control. And then finally, create a reaction plan. So in advance, think about ways to combat those familiar angry feelings. And then practice your plan. With God's help, you can break free from anger.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and today's topic is how to stop being taken advantage of. And there is so much more to come, but before we move on, I want to remind you to check out Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com. There you will find her blogs, books, and you can connect on social media. And of course, listen to the podcast anytime on iTunes. You can be anywhere, Dr. Linda, and listen to the show.
You're running through a field. You could be lying in your bed. You could be anywhere. And we'll be with you.
We'll be right there with you.
That's right.
Well, earlier on the program, we touched on the importance of being assertive. Define what you mean, because it often gets confused with being aggressive, which is not what we are recommending if you are being taken advantage of.
So here's a definition from the University of Plymouth. Do you know where the University of Plymouth is? It's not in Massachusetts.
It's not in Massachusetts.
No, it's in English. I had to look it up. Actually, I thought, I've never heard of that university. It's in England, FYI. So this is what they say. Assertiveness is the skill of saying what we need or want, or protecting ourselves from what we do not want, while respecting the needs and the rights of others. So when you're assertive, both people get their needs met in the form of a compromise or working together. When you're assertive, you identify the behavior that concerns you. Then you identify your feeling about it, and you state what you want to happen as a result. It's a calm, reasonable, and effective way to resolve conflict or to respond to requests that you feel are unreasonable.
It's diplomacy.
It is. Mm. It is. But you're going to stand up for yourself, and That's the important part of this.
Now, where I get into trouble is I make the attempt to do the confrontation, but then I say something I shouldn't.
Words are very important to the outcome. So try to avoid language that might sound like you're accusing the person. You did this or you said, and instead focus on those I statements that convey what your feeling is to the other person. So here's an example. I felt hurt when you showed up a half an hour late to our lunch date. Now, that's a personal example.
Mm-hmm.
It might be I felt overwhelmed when you handed me that last assignment. So at work, I'm trying to think of a work scenario where you might say this. And you let the person know that there's some feelings involved in this and that there might have to be some more conversation.
Well, give us an example then of how to say no in a nice way.
All right. So this is so that you have some words you can practice.
Mm-hmm.
We'd say, oh, I can't. If somebody's asking you something, you feel like you're being taken advantage of, here's some good responses. You know, I don't have any room in my calendar. Could you do that one?
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a good one. Or, you know, I really don't enjoy that type of work. Now, if you have to give, it's a boss giving it to you, you can't say that. But if it's like a coworker asking you to do something,
right,
you could do that.
I would love to walk into my boss one day and say, you know, I really just don't enjoy doing that.
But there are jobs where you could actually do that when a coworker's asking you. How about this? I have another commitment.
Mm, right.
I've said that. I've got like 5 or 6 deadlines before this, so I really can't do it. Another good one is, I have no experience with that. Here's another one. I know you will do a wonderful job with that yourself. I love that.
That's the best one, yeah.
You know, especially if you're very sincere and you go, I'm sure you can do a great job with that.
Right.
I like that. And here's one that's just honest with a lot of people. I'm not comfortable doing that.
And you don't want to do a poor job if you simply just are not comfortable taking on this assignment.
Or you might not be comfortable because you're overwhelmed and you feel like they're taking advantage of you.
Exactly.
So that's telling the truth. I'm not comfortable with this.
You know, it seems that some people at work are targets to be taken advantage of. Why is that?
Have you noticed that?
Well, they are.
There are people. Yeah. Maybe those are those really nice, helpful people.
No, the interns, usually.
But here's what the research says. It says if you're an achiever, someone who always goes above and beyond at work, you could be vulnerable.
Right.
You have high standards for yourself. You want to perform well, and that can make you a target. People know that you'll deliver the goods. And so whatever it is, if it's a presentation, a project deadline, they look at you and go, give it to her because she'll get it done.
Right. And I've heard someone say it should be a compliment if your boss or coworkers ask you to do extra things, like you said, because you're good at it.
Yeah.
Is it a compliment?
Do you
or,
think?
Well,
I don't think it's a compliment.
Yeah.
I think if your boss or coworkers continue to dump on you.
Right.
Because they know you won't set any boundaries with that, then they're taking advantage of you. Now, it's a compliment in a roundabout way, but they're kind of using you.
Right.
So at some point, I think you have to stand up for yourself and just say no. It's just a matter of respect not to be a doormat and allow people to walk all over you at your workplace. And when this happens, it's really disheartening. It deflates your desire to do more, and it undermines your sense of confidence. You know, when you constantly feel like you're not meeting up to the expectations because someone is not affirming you, then that can be a real downer at a workplace. It's more likely that you're going to shrink back. You're not going to rise to the occasion and go, yeah, let me do more, because you're just having such a negative experience.
Here's a question, especially coming from a man, because I think maybe some of us men don't think about this, but is it wrong to want some validation for the work you do?
You know, I do think we have a lot of our identity wrapped up in our work.
Yeah, we do.
And it's human nature to want validation, even when we know we get that from God, right?
Mm-hmm.
He validates us. He accepts us the way we are. He unconditionally loves us. But if you have a boss who's withholding verbal praise and they do that as a way to control you, that's a problem. The same is true if your efforts are always being nitpicked.
Right.
Living in this state of constant criticism or the lack of feedback on the job just increases anxiety and stress for people at work.
And if you aren't aware of that this is happening, you could start thinking you aren't good enough yourself. And I guess this would be a big problem.
Well, when your boss is listing out all the things you do wrong or doesn't say anything at all.
Yes.
It takes you to go, okay, how am I doing on the job? Mm-hmm. And when that happens, you just have to take a deep breath. Maybe ask for feedback. What could you do better? How could you improve? What did they think of your work? I had a boss like this, never gave me feedback.
Mm.
And I literally sat in my annual review and said, do you have any ideas for me that could be helpful? He just looked at me and he said, no. So that was frustrating.
Well, there are some bosses whose management style is, hey, look, if you don't hear from me, you're doing a great job. But that can send the wrong message as well.
That's right.
And it takes a lot of assertiveness to get the feedback, especially when you're just being pounded by criticism or no response at all.
So the alternative here, Chris, is that you can just say, well, I'm just not going to care.
Mm.
Or you address the issue. I mean, really, those are your only two choices. Because if you don't address it, what happens with most people is that resentment begins to build up, and that eventually can lead to burnout. So
right.
I think it's reasonable to ask for feedback.
What about this? You find yourself apologizing at work, even when there is no reason to say you're sorry.
When that is the case, then I would suggest you do an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Keep a record of how many times during a day you said, I'm sorry.
Hmm.
When you do that, if you're one of those people who tends to apologize for a lot of things, you'll probably be surprised by the number of times you do that. And probably the reason you're doing that is to keep the peace.
Right.
And when that happens, you're just not being respected. So the solution really is to look at the number of times you do that, cut that down, try to stop apologizing, unless it's legitimately something you need to apologize for, of course. Just stand firm on your choices and your actions and show your manager or coworker how tough your backbone actually is.
Mm. One last issue, though, before we go to the break. How do you handle it when your ideas are not taken seriously? For instance, you're asked to give ideas, to brainstorm, and you do spend a lot of time on this, and then nothing happens.
It just doesn't help the morale of a company when that happens. And
no.
I have worked in a place where that was the case, because then what happens is the team is just not valued. There's a lot of verbal giving to, we want your input, but then in reality, they really don't. And when that happens over and over at a company, it leads to people feeling annoyed, maybe resentful again. Again, I would say it's in your best interest to try to have a conversation with your boss or look at the company and say, is this a place I really want to work in the long term? Because you do need to have a give and take and a respectful relationship on a daily basis.
All right. Well, this is all very helpful, because I suspect we have lots of nice, caring, helpful people who want to be people pleasers, but they could feel like a doormat as well. And when we come back, a biblical perspective on how to respond to people who take advantage of you.
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mintel, and I wrote the book We Need to Talk in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. Are you a mom or a dad trying to do your best to raise a healthy weight child in an unhealthy eating culture? Do you often struggle with how to respond when your child asks if she is fat or if he needs to lose weight? Do you wonder what is normal and how do I best impact my child and his or her eating habits? Well, hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mintel, and my book, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, teaches parents how to raise healthy kids in an overscheduled, fast food, video game world by making simple choices, easy changes, and instilling good habits that will improve everyone's life today and forever. Winner of the Mom's Choice Award, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World will give you this confidence, the confidence you need to take charge of your child's eating and raise a healthy weight child.
Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World. Available on Dr. Linda's website, drlindamintel.com, and available online where books are sold.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show, and Dr. Linda has written numerous books that you can find on her website, drlindamintel.com, and we encourage you to connect on social media and follow her blogs and her speaking schedule. And you can listen to this show anytime on our podcast, and that's available at iTunes. And Dr. Linda, during the break, we were talking about the idea of when you present ideas at work, you try to be proactive, especially when your boss says, "We want your ideas." But then there's a pattern of the ideas either being shot down or ignored or criticized. How do you respond to that?
So we did talk about that you do feel annoyed and resentful. But what you're asking, which is a very good point, is then what happens to your behavior?
Right.
And a lot of times you just shut down. And you stop giving input because you think, what does it matter? Where does it go? And in fact, we actually had a little experiential time with this because you had an idea related to this for the show. So let's say this is our company. Chris came up with an idea that he said, you know, wouldn't it be fun if during the breaks we put on a little bit of our conversation during the breaks and people could kind of get the behind the scenes for that? Now, you just gave an idea.
And you said it was a bad idea.
No, I didn't. I said exactly the opposite. Norm and I were like, we love that. We should try that. Mm-hmm. So look how healthy we are as a group.
That's right. It's great.
We're just the model. Right?
The work environment here is just fantastic.
It is good. Yep. It is good.
As we begin to wrap up the show, all the strategies we've talked about so far that deal with being taken advantage of, how do they line up scripturally?
Well, we don't usually recommend things on this show that would not line up scripturally. So all of these do fall in line with biblical principles. So there's nothing wrong, Chris, with saying no, setting limits, being assertive, not aggressive, as we talked about, or developing self-respect, right? Doing all these things does keep you from developing resentment. So it's best to work on being more assertive, setting limits with other people so you don't find yourself in that resentful, annoyed position. But there is a fine line when it comes to helping people, because as people of faith, we do want to be generous. We do want to be givers to other people. So we have to be careful that we don't just pull back completely from that.
That's right. This is where it gets a little complicated. If we can, we should try to honor someone's request for help. You want to help, but you don't want to be constantly taken advantage of. How do we dance around that line?
Well, the Bible calls us to be good stewards of our resources, and I think that includes our time and our money. So we need to manage, you know, both of those. We need to pay our bills. We need to take care of our responsibilities. We need to rest. We need to have time with God. We don't need to drop everything regarding our own self-care in order to do all things for people who can do for themselves. That's important to me, is if they can do it for themselves, that we need to be discerning of that. There is a balance, and that is really the issue. When you're being used, people are taking advantage of you.
And you don't want to be an enabler for someone's laziness.
That's right. Yeah.
The issue is to continue to be kind and help others, but not be a doormat.
I like this statement. I found it on a blog, and I honestly can't remember which blog I found it on, so if it's yours, thank you. But this is what I read. It said, "Jesus was not a pushover. nor did he let others take advantage of him. Instead, he modeled godly servanthood and appropriate setting of boundaries. Following his example and seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can learn to help others without being taken advantage of.
Like using this person's blog in your program.
We're not taking advantage. We're sharing good information.
That's right. Well, having discernment seems to be the key, and we don't want to support laziness or lack of accountability, yet we do want to help people in need.
And when we are the object of personal slights, we're not supposed to retaliate as someone of faith. So being a doormat, I think that's a little bit of a weakness. Mm. But when you choose to forgive other people and you choose at times to let offenses go, well, you should always let an offense go, biblically, then that's a position of strength. There's a scripture that says, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. That's in Proverbs 19:11. God is always looking at our hearts. So if we help someone out of a pure motive to help, that's a good thing. But when we do it because we feel pressured, fearful, or we feel like we just have to please the person, that's problematic.
And it seems like the best thing to do is to focus on your true worth with God. That would help a person break away from this doormat position.
Because every one of us is created in the image of God to reflect His glory and His beauty in a unique way. So understanding that God has pronounced us righteous because of Jesus' death and resurrection should empower us to live in the freedom that this brings. We are no one's doormats. We are sons and we're daughters of the Most High God.
We should stop feeling guilty for appropriately saying no.
Not only that, but sometimes we're enabling irresponsibility of others, and that's not helpful. Fear that is rooted in the desire for others to love or appreciate or need us can lead us to rescue those who really should experience their own consequences. This is enabling, not a healthy type of help. Doormats are generally people who are afraid to say no when they need to. Recognizing why we're afraid to say no can be a big step in overcoming this problem because it's usually fear. Then deal with a fear which is almost always rooted in a need to be loved or pleasing someone else. Instead, work on pleasing God, not man.
So if someone is really struggling to set boundaries and say no, does it help to talk to someone else to get a perspective?
I think it does. If you're someone who easily gives in to others and then feels bad that you did, it would be good to find a coach or a mentor, someone you could trust who could give you honest feedback and help you stop that pattern. Continue to help others, but do so from the motive of love, not pleasing or feeling pressured. Well, that's all the time we have today. Many thanks to our producer, Norm Mintel, our social media director, Zach and Allison Bolton, our engineer and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.